Welcome back to Moon Harbor Heroes. Today's issue is Cataclysm Crew, issue 64, Snow Globe. On the cover, there is a computer screen showing Tyrannus, the Wild Thing, Rascal King, and Rebel Rouser moving through the empty hallways of Saber. The edges of the screen are frosted over, with the cold so intense that there are cracks running across the glass. In the bottom right-hand corner, there is a silver embossed sticker adorned with a broken blade and encircled by jagged vines. The text on it reads, "Ice and Thorns." We turn the page and our story begins. This issue opens immediately following the end of the previous issue. We see Scarlet Scorpion, hands on the table, nails slightly digging in, glaring at Blue Samurai and Flyby. And she looks at you and she says, and this is less of a glare and more of like a glower. Like, if looks could kill, the two of you would be dead and buried somewhere already. And she says, "So, something's going on at Saber, huh?"
Wonder what it could be. All of our friends are at base with the flu.
Yeah, I don't think we had anything planned for tonight.
She looks at Plain Jane and she's like, "Can you go ahead and plug your phone into the projector there?
I need to do some cheekiness right quick. I want to open a really small portal so that she plugs the socket into a portal, or she plugs her phone into her phone and then, or the cable into her phone and then the other end of the cable into a portal of mine so that it doesn't connect to the projector."
Go ahead and roll to unleash your powers.
What if I wanted to wield my powers?
That would be precise. Yeah. Go ahead and wield your powers.
Yes. I get to use my adult move because I'm an adult boy. Ooh, I'm feeling jolly. I got a 7, which means I get to choose 1. So I guess that would be neutralizing a threat, and not an opponent, but neutralizing a threat, at least for now, right? Or am I incorrect in that assumption?
That can be what you want.
Because I don't know how I would take hold of something vulnerable to me, nor do I know how I would create something useful from my environment. But I do know that I could get rid of a threat to the whole plan.
That works. So tell me what that looks like as she goes to plug her phone in.
So yeah, as she goes to plug her phone in, I'm just going to kind of just open a portal in my hand, like a real small one, and then just lock eyes with wherever she's plugging it in and just open that, and then just kind of just close my hand around so the glow doesn't show up, because everything I do is neon blue. And then I'm just going to close my hand and just hold it behind my back. Or are we still sitting down? Because then I'm going to hold it under the table.
You're still sitting down.
Then I'm going to hold my hand under the table and just be like, "Yeah, why don't you plug your phone in?" But I'm not going to say that because that would be silly.
She plugs it in and then presses some buttons and she's like, I don't know what's going on. Hold on. And then she like unplugs it from her phone and then like unplugs it from the thing. And just like, we see her like messing with the cable and she leans over and she's like, "Ugh, okay, this is a piece of shit, of course." She tries to flip it because, of course, you got to flip the USB and it doesn't work. And she's like, "Ugh, I hate this cheap ass piece of shit cable. Ugh." And she throws the cable across the room. And while that's going, we hear a sound from above you all. And with that, we're going to cut over to Rebel Rouser and Rascal King. You two have just emerged at the bottom of the stairs in Saber. In front of you is 10 Saber guards, all on Saber cycles. These are definitely more souped up compared to the one that Max had for a while. And by a while, I mean, I think literally about 45 minutes canonically. These have like lasers and stuff on them, like clear weapons mounted on them. And they are also literally beefier, like they are bigger. And they are all revving them about to launch at you.
And they're all like in the path of where we need to be heading, right?
Yeah, it's a pretty narrow hallway. It's pretty much wide enough for like 3 people to walk side by side. So each of these, I'm going to say it's a little bit bigger than that. Probably enough for like 2 of these to drive next to each other comfortably.
Before we do anything, I would like to use the move that I just took as my advancement, Game Face from the Janus playbook. When you commit yourself to save someone or defeat a terrible enemy, mark a condition and take +1 ongoing to all roles in direct pursuit of that goal. And at the end of any scene in which you don't make progress towards that goal, mark a condition. And then when I fulfill it, mark potential. I would like to commit myself to defeating Glacier, specifically not like trying to kill her, but just defeating. Emphasis on that. And what condition am I going to mark? I'm going to mark angry.
Perfect. Was that you have to mark a condition to start that move, and then it's also the end of every scene?
I mark a condition to start the move, and then I get the plus one ongoing to any rolls in pursuit in that roll. If I don't make progress towards that goal in a scene, I mark a condition.
Cool.
I think we get Max and Amber, like, the familiar glancing over at each other before the fight moment.
Yep.
And Max just has a big old grin. I think Squire runs up on his shoulder, and he goes, "Try to get past them. Squire and I got this. We'll catch back up."
And Rebel Rouser also has a massive grin on her face. Like, yeah, let's do this.
All right, Rebel Rouser, you going to try to get past them?
Yeah. So I think I'm going to use one of my new fancy schmancy shadow portals. I'm going to run straight at the nearest guard on a saber cycle and diving into their shadow, and then kind of like jump out of way towards the back of the hallway, the last guard jumping out of his jumping out of their shadow to get behind all of them.
Awesome. Can you go ahead and roll to unleash your powers for me?
Can do. That's a 10.
All right. You did it. So you make it past them, and I presume you're going to keep heading down the hall towards Glacier?
Yeah, I don't look back. I got to keep moving.
I would love to throw in a few detail panels there. Like, I think before you start that, like, both of us are running towards them, and as you jump through the first one, like, we get a nice high five between you, me, and Squire as, like, the rest of you is popping through the portal.
Oh, absolutely.
And Rascal King, you are now running towards these guards. What are you going to do?
I'd like to activate my moment of truth.
Can you read that for me?
The moment that you show who you really are, your mentor or something different. You can do whatever your mentor could do and more. You can do the incredible, even the things they always failed to accomplish. Of course, they're not going to see you the same way, no matter which path you choose. And I think, like, after we get the panels of Amber, like, turning the corner, we cut back to Max, and Max just launches Squire at the first, the closest rider of the saber cycle. And Squire just like latches onto their face. That motorcycle goes spinning off. And then we go through this like series of battle panels where we're cutting back and forth between Max like fighting his way down the hallway and scenes of him and Vixen training and like him sloppily following her styles in the training panels and just like perfectly mimicking her movements when we're back in the hallway. And we're just like this like big montage. And then just at the end, him and Squire just huffing and puffing. And like the panel lifts up to see just everyone knocked out and the motorcycle is just in various stages of damage down the hallway.
I'm going to throw in, there's one motorcycle, which was the one at the very end, that is perfectly intact.
Oh, perfect. Squire and I lock eyes, nod, and hop on. And I think I just rev it and start gunning down. And I'm going to do something very mechanically dumb. And I am going to lock my savior at plus 3.
What are your two lock labels now?
Mundane and savior.
And are they both locked at plus 3?
Yep.
Wow. All right. And with that, we cut back over to Flyby and Blue Samurai. At that noise above you, Scarlet Scorpion's head snaps up. Everyone else kind of glances, but Scarlet Scorpion's head snaps up. And you can see, like, the veins in her neck that are super, super tight. And she is clearly very stressed out. Scarlet Scorpion doesn't often show when she gets stressed out. She's usually very, very cool. So this is a new moment for everyone in the room. And then she looks at Al and then transforms into him. If you forgot, Scarlet Scorpion is a shapeshifter.
Wait, what was the noise? What does this have to do with the noise? What?
There was just a noise coming from above you. As we remember, the restaurant is in the basement, so something is happening upstairs.
Oh, no.
And she says, in your voice, friend of yours?
Well, I actually, so I'm going to be out of character, completely honest. I don't remember this at all supposed to happen. So if somebody wants to clue me in as to who the hell is upstairs? That'd be...
Y'all don't know who's upstairs.
I was going to say, that'd be much appreciated.
You all know the MMM is waiting for your signal. Like, they're waiting to help you in case shit goes badly. But, you know, you don't actually know what's going on up there.
All right, then I'm gonna try to... I don't really want to say provoke, because, like, I feel like that's not true. I should have taken Persuade with Best Interests. Damn it. Because, like, I have no idea who this is. And
you can just tell her that.
But is she going to believe me? You know what? Let's do it. Let's just be like, honest to God, I have no idea what that noise was. And I'm going to, like, look her, like, dead in the eye and be like, that mother-son, like, connection that we really probably don't have, but that I'm going to try and force down her gullet.
Fantastic. She gets very close to you. And we get a really cool panel that is, like, your two faces with you looking very, like, confident and determined staring at her. And her with your face, but this massive, really unnatural smile. And she says, well, I don't think you were telling the truth about your friends not being at Saber. So why would you be telling the truth now? I really thought I raised you better than this, Al.
Now I'm going to provoke her and I'm going to say, you didn't raise me at all. And then I'm going to shove her out of my face.
I don't think that's a provoke. I think you just do that.
Hell yeah.
As you push her back, she transforms back into Scarlet Scorpion. Like, you push her so hard that the facade drops. And you see a look of fury on her face that you've never seen before. This is objectively terrifying. And Flyby, what are you doing at this moment?
I'm just watching. Part of me is keeping an eye on the situation that's happening in front of me. The other part of me is keeping an ear out for whatever noise is happening upstairs. But sort of like the joke that I made very badly in the chat, but like Griffin McElroy voice, I'm very uncomfortable with the energy we've created in the studio tonight. That is sort of the general vibe that she's with right now.
So Flyby, you have heightened senses. Can you go ahead and roll and assess the situation to see if you know or know what's going on upstairs?
That is a 7.
All right, so go ahead and ask one. If you ask what is the biggest threat, I will tell you someone who's not in the room. Because, like, Scarlet Scorpion's the biggest threat, but, you know.
Can I use to figure out what's going on upstairs?
Yeah, so with your heightened senses, you can hear what sounds like someone breathing on the floor. Not, like, blowing air across the floor, but, like, that sound, that, like, noise from upstairs kind of sounded like a body hitting the ground. And there's someone not moving, laying on the ground. They are still breathing, but someone is up there and they are unconscious.
Can I tell who else is up there? Because I don't think this person dropped not dead of their own volition.
You are not hearing any other sounds from upstairs.
Spooky. Okay.
And Scarlet Scorpion looks you dead in the eyes, Al. And she says, you're right. I didn't raise you. If I did... you'd be far more powerful than this. And she is shifting your mundane up and your superior down.
Well, I don't love that.
I think as soon as that happens, Lucy understands that she's trying to bait Al. And so I think Lucy probably grabs his forearm underneath the table and like squeezes it really hard and trying to say like, don't do anything. Don't provoke her. We're trying to get out of this unscathed. We need to buy some time.
She was trying to move your mundane up and your superior down.
Oh, I was really hoping you were going to say savior, but that's okay too, I guess.
You don't have to take it. You can reject it.
Oh, all right. Let's reject that bad boy.
Before you reject it, do you want to just go over the conditions? Just to make sure you understand. So on a 10 plus, you're going to choose 2 from that list. On a 7 or 9, you're going to choose 1. But on a miss, the words are going to hit you hard. You're going to mark a condition and I'm going to shift your labels.
Oh, that's rude. Oh.
You're still more than welcome to do it. I just wanted to make sure you knew what the fail condition was.
I'm going to do it. Ooh! Ooh, sorry, that was loud. I got a 9. Oh, my heart is pounding.
All right, so that's a 9. Lucy, you were kind of trying to convince him not to react. So if you want to say that it's spending a team, you could spend a team to bump that up to a 10.
I am not going to do that because I want to save our team for a role that is not as successful as this one.
That is completely fair.
Okay. Should I shift my labels? Or I'm going to take a +1 forward against them because I feel like even if I were to shift my labels, the +1 forward might help more, I think.
That also cancels their influence over you.
Ooh, Al's becoming an even bigger boy by ignoring his mom.
Hey, there's that character growth we needed.
If only it wasn't happening in the cumulative arc. Perfect. So you chose to cancel the influence and take +1 forward against them?
Yes.
All right. I don't know if we said this, but that was a 9 for anyone listening. I think we did say that. All right, Al, what does it look like on your face when you officially don't have influence, or when your mom officially doesn't have influence over you anymore?
I think Al is just going to kind of tap Flyby's hand and then take it off and then look Mother straight in the eye and say, and this is going to be kind of cheesy, but he's going to say, I'm far more powerful than anything you could have ever made.
She smirks and then she's like, I mean, I made this. And she gestures around a crown of thorns and she's like, this is my organization. This is my business. And this is going to be my world, Al. So you can either be with me and tell us what's going on in Saber, tell us what's going on upstairs, or you don't have to be part of it.
Question.
Yep.
How is she, can she communicate with other people? Or is it only, like, if I distract her, like, well enough, is she going to be able to still send out an alert? Or does she rely entirely on Sunscreen's phone? Or was it Plain Jane's phone? I don't remember.
It was Plain Jane's phone. She so far has not yet sent out an alert. As far as you know, almost everyone involved in the Crown of Thorns is here. All the big players are in this room. So she might have, like, small goons to send out, but she doesn't have, like, a task force somewhere.
Oh, why is this all hinging on me? I don't have good ideas. I have bad ideas. Filled with joy and fun, and Lucy has all the lame ideas filled with plans and not death.
I mean, to be fair, Lucy can jump in at any moment.
I did have a lying plan, but that, I don't know.
You should go ahead, because I don't have a plan that doesn't completely dick over the plan.
I think Lucy at this point might intervene, or not Lucy, Flyby. I think Flyby would intervene at this point and say, we don't know what's going on upstairs. Like, truly, no idea what's going on upstairs.
She looks at you, and she stares you dead in the eyes, and then she snaps her fingers, and Queen Bee walks over to you. I want you to roll me a flat 2d6. Queen Bee is trying to influence you to get you to tell the truth. You're already telling the truth, but Queen Bee is trying to influence you, so roll me a flat 2d6 to see how well you avoid this.
That is a 12, baby!
All right, so, that was a perfect roll. You can feel Queen Bee's, like, energy, like, creeping up on you, which is probably through that pheromone control that you know she has. But you also know enough about her to know that, like, you're fine. You can just shake it off. If you know that she's trying to control you, she can't do it. Most of her pheromone control comes from, like, people who were not aware that they were being controlled.
Truly, we don't know what's going on upstairs.
She looks at Sunscreen, and then she, like, gestures and is like, just gives a nod, and Sunscreen starts to head upstairs. And she looks between the two of you, and she says, okay, I believe that you don't know what is going on upstairs. So what is happening at Saber? And with that, we cut over, and we see what's happening at Saber. So, Rebel Rouser, you have just made it to... There's kind of a big, almost conference room-style room in the middle of this floor. Off of it are a couple labs, a couple computer rooms, and about 7 cells, which have that, like, clear glass that we've seen in Saber before that we know is, like, damn near impenetrable. And inside are a few people that you don't recognize, but the readers do. So a few of the prisoners you do recognize. You recognize Mars, but Mars does not look like himself. Like, normally, Mars has volcanic glass sticking out of his skin, and he's kind of got, like, a red hue to his whole body. He is basically, like, a tiefling, but except a badass puncher kind of guy. But his skin has, like, weird patches of fur on it, and his jaw is, like, weirdly angled and his mouth slightly elongated. It looks kind of like Mars was crossbred with some sort of animal. We also see Brick House, who, as we know from previous times, was helping Lucy and also was the one who left the note for you all that was like, good luck. And we see Brick House, who is, like the name implies, built like a brick house. Brick is House is H-A-U-S because he's German. And I'm not going to do the accent because last time it was really bad. He has 6 arms and like we can see like claws at the end of his fingers. He kind of looks like his like jeans have been spliced with like a spider's or something. There are a few others, but those are the two that stand out who are like closest that the readers can see. And sitting on the stage in this conference room is Glacier.
Dun dun.
Glacier gives you this massive smile and she says, "Well, wasn't expecting to see you here today, Amber."
I mean, that was the goal, the hope. So glad we succeeded. Thanks.
You picked an opportune time to do this little takedown. We've been redecorating upstairs. I don't know if you saw the hole where the ice came through, but, you know, we had to do some renovations. So we moved some of our inmates down here, and they've just been helping us with some science experiments. If you look over, these experiments do not look happy that they were part of the experiment here.
Yeah, I saw some of your experiments at one of your bases, and those were bad. This is worse. What happened to you?
I realized that sometimes to make great things happen, you have to do a couple things that aren't so great. I've realized good and evil, it's a balancing act. And I happen to always want to be at the top.
Huh, that's funny, because that's something that I realized too lately. I'm not a villain like my dad, but I'm not really much of a hero either. So Rebel Rouser made sense, anti-hero, but I don't want to be at the top. So I'm here to take you down before somebody worse does.
She looks at you and she smiles kind of sadly and she's like, "But you have the potential to be the strongest of all of us. I mean, look at your lineage, who your dad is, who your mom is, who your new mentor is. And then look at what you became, being born from two villains, and then you became a hero. You could be limitless, Amber."
"No, I want the limit. You're limitless." And like, she kind of like gestures to these experiments. "Your lack of limits is really fucking bad. We need limits."
"See, that's where you're wrong. My lack of limits is fucking powerful." And then ice is going to shoot out of the ground. Just like two jagged mountains of ice are going to shoot out of the ground directly towards you. And with that, we're going to cut away over to Tyrannus and Wild Thing. Tyrannus and Wild Thing, you just finished trashing the server room and then heard a slow clap, turned and saw Sword/Dragon standing in the doorway.
I punch him in the face. That's what I do immediately.
Perfect. Go ahead and roll to directly engage a threat.
As she flies across the room to do that, I'm going to be like, "Kilara, no!" And then watch it happen.
Yeah, no, it's definitely too late. I'm sorry. He definitely, I feel like the last time that we were recording this, he started to say something, right? I think he like starts to give a villain speech, but I just punch him in the face.
That's perfect. I don't remember what he said, but I'm going to say that he started to give a villain speech and you punched him in the face. Roll to directly engage a threat.
Okay, that's an 8, so...
All right, so go ahead and choose one from that list.
Yes, the list. I'm going to resist or avoid their blows. Basically, I just immediately... I just punch him in the face, and then I think that he's just so stunned that I just did that.
Perfect. Are you punching him in the face, like, from across the room? Like, not even lunging forward, just, like, fist out, hitting him in the face?
Yes, exactly. It's literally just, like... instinct, like just like a quick thought, like boom, I'm punching you in the face.
He steps back and like puts his finger on his nose and pulls it back, and we do see that it is bleeding. And then he looks up and he smiles, and where the sword used to have like regular teeth like a human, his teeth are now jagged and dragon-y. As mentioned in previous issues, the sword was stabbed in the spine with one of the like drugs that was going around that like enhanced your power and also like made you unhinged and really, really violent. And so now he is starting to transform into his alter ego dragon that he was disguised as. So like parts of him are starting to scale over a little bit and his teeth are dragon teeth. And he says, "Well, this is going to be fun, isn't it?" And then he launches into the room. Tyrannus, what are you going to do?
So Tyrannus literally leaps in front of Clara, I'm assuming that's where he's charging towards. And I throw up a construct in front of him. I use one burn to bring up a person-sized electrical construct in front of him. And I use both my burns so that we now have three fighters in the room. Me, and Clara.
Perfect. What does that construct look like?
Me.
Like made of electricity or just like a picture of you?
Me, made of electricity.
Very cool. I like that. I like to think that like the scars are very clearly like electrical bolts on this one's face.
And that's in front of me, which is now in front of Sword.
I do want you to go ahead and roll a defend, even though you're using that construct. I do want you to like defend the wild thing.
Oh, that's.
Do you want to tell us what that roll was?
That's a one for those who are listening right now.
It's okay. I can take it. I'm the tank.
Don't worry. It's not going to hurt you, Clara. Dragon launches for this construct and then reaches into his pocket as he's moving and pulls out a piece of that crystal that we saw earlier, the like drug crystal that transformed him into his altered self. And he presses it into the shoulder of the construct. And the construct, without turning around, its head just rotates, looks at Tyrannus, and then blasts electricity directly at Tyrannus's chest. Helen, can you take a powerful blow for me?
Defend. Defend. I jump in front.
I'm going to say this is probably happening a little too quickly for that. It's just because we did just have... This is happening because he failed to defend you.
No, I get it. Dang it. All right, it's fine.
All right, Tyrannus, can you take a powerful blow for me?
It might be anti-electricity.
That was a 9 on that take a powerful blow.
All right, so take one for that list. That's not too bad.
I'll give ground.
Excellent. So I think the way this works is the construct electricity just hits you in the chest. I don't think it hurts that bad, but you do go like flying backwards past Clara. And then Dragon is right on top of Clara, like throwing a punch at her. Clara, what are you going to do?
I'm going to see that coming. I see the way that his muscle tenses as he is changing course and grab his arm like midair and just like pull him into a bind or try to.
That kind of sounds like you're taking his mobility from him. So go ahead and roll to directly engage a threat.
Oh, also, I feel like I would make Alan my something at this point. Let me roll a dice to decide. Okay, I'm going to make Alan my love right quick. Like seeing the way that he just took that blow for me, basically. There's like a brief moment. It's hardly even, at this point, like readers are familiar with Clara's love and rival situation. So it's just like a brief moment of like gratitude. And you can shift my labels.
That you was directed at you, Kai. So
yeah. No, it was. What are your labels?
My danger is maxed. My superior is maxed. My savior is at +2. And my freak is minimized. And my mundane is minimized. I didn't do these things on purpose. It just happened.
Actually, in this case, you have your savior would definitely go up. And your freak would definitely go down. So if either of those are locked or maxed, then...
Yeah. So I guess I'll just take... angry since okay so if you want to move my freak down and I can't it can't go any further down, what happens then?
Nothing moves and you just take a condition.
Okay, I'll just mark angry. I'm angry that you did that because I'm supposed to take the hits and you're supposed to be the one like doing all the magic stuff and so I'm angry that you took that hit for me, but I also care about you more. Okay. So
super. So Alan is okay. I'll let that resolve. And then I say what Alan's doing.
Yeah. Hold on. I've got wild things still about to directly engage. So
that's going to be a +4. Cause I'm like, see, this is what this is supposed to be. I'm doing this to impress you now. That's a 14.
All right. Take 2 from that list.
All right. So I'm going to take his mobility. Like I said, actually, could I instead take his power over the construct, like his concentration on whatever that magic was?
I guess you could probably take the construct back if you pulled the crystal out of his shoulder.
Okay, so maybe what I'll do is I grapple him for a second, then push him out of the way so he stumbles and loses concentration so that I can resist and avoid his blows. And then I'll reach over with my other hand and pull the crystal out of the construct and throw it on the ground and break it.
Perfect. The crystal shatters and it's like a green crystal. So like just shards of green crystal scatter across the floor and the construct like shifts around and looks a little bit more Alan-ish and then launches forward and just puts his hands on Dragon's like chest and just sends an electrical surge into Dragon there. It is enough to shock probably Clara a little bit. Not enough to hurt her, but it might be enough to like loosen your grip a little bit on Dragon's arm.
I think that makes sense. I probably like, as the electricity jolts through, I probably just push him out of the way. Like I push Dragon toward the ground.
Perfect. And with that, the construct kind of looks at Tyrannus, and Tyrannus, you get control back over the construct. The construct had one moment of like, hey, I'm really mad that this person hijacked my brain, but then, you know, is now back under control.
And the construct, by the way, I did spend 2 burns, so the construct is independent of me.
Yeah, but it's still your narrative control there.
I know, just making sure that's clear to the listeners that it is an independent entity at this point. So Tyrannus is a little aggravated right now, and he's going to charge his burn, and I'm going to roll for that really quickly.
And that was a 13.
So that's 3 burn. And what that looks like on the page is Alan presses himself up, and as he does that, he's basically exploding in electrical energy. He's going to yell to Wild Thing, get out of the way. He puts his arms in front of him, and he's going to do a reality storm. He's using 2 burn, 1 to do the reality storm and 1 to prevent collateral damage, and unleash his powers at... Why did I do that? I could just unleash my powers. Fuck it. No, we're not using the burn. We're just unleashing my powers. I'm going to blast him. I don't have to use the burn. I forgot my danger is the same as my freak.
Cool. Go ahead and roll 2 directly engage a threat then.
That was a 12.
Go ahead and choose 2 from that list.
Okay, so Clara took away his mobility last time.
Yes. Yeah, he's currently like slightly immobilized. He's on the ground. He was just shocked.
I'm going to create an opportunity for my allies and resist or avoid the blows.
All right. So tell me what that looks like as you just unleash yourself in this directly engage a threat on sword.
I throw my arms directly in front of me and electricity basically surges from my feet. And all of the electronics in the room seem to lose a little bit of power, like dampen, as the electricity flies out of my hand directly towards Sword's chest.
Awesome. Sword hits the ground and is like shaking as the electricity is surging through him. And then he looks up at you and like grins this big, massive grin. And he's like, you're not too bad. Got stronger since you left Saber. But you're an idiot if you think we don't have these all backed up.
Tyrannus will start walking towards him while the construct stands over Sword. And Tyrannus says, yeah, we already handled that problem. Now, would you like to talk or would you like to get hit again? I'm sure Clara would like to put a couple more blows in you.
He grins and holds up a flash drive. And he's like, I mean, or we have these hidden throughout the facility.
Can I do something?
Yeah, you've got a opportunity open for you.
Yeah, okay. So I grab him by the throat and I put him up on the ceiling and I say, where are the rest of the flash drives?
He looks at you and he smiles and like, he is not doing well. He is very, very beat up. Y'all took him down very effectively. And he's like, I think I've got one and Glacier's got one. And there's one in the computer lab on the bottom floor. And maybe there are more. I don't know.
Is he telling the truth?
Do you want to pierce his mask?
Yes, but no.
Do it.
It's going to go so bad. Guys, I didn't do these labels. I didn't make this happen. I don't know how this happened. That's going to be a -2. That's a 4. And got a 4.
Get that potential.
Are you angry?
Am I? Yeah.
So that's technically, well, you can't go lower than a -3. The game caps it at -3. So that's a 3.
Okay. That's a 3. I'd like to accidentally knock him out, I think, is what happens. I feel like that might be the failure.
I'll take that. He's smiling and you can see him, like, his grin fades a little bit and then his eyes roll back in his head and he just, like, goes dead weight in your hand.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry. Well?
Just leave him. Just leave him, all thing. I'll nuke this place as we leave.
As you're lowering him, you can see that the scales on his arm and, like, on his neck are starting to grow more.
Does he have one of those chip things, or does he have something on him that is causing this, like the way the glacier did?
Not that you can see.
It would have just gotten destroyed if we wouldn't have got hit by lightning, wouldn't it?
It wasn't that. It was a different thing. He was stabbed with a drug that is corrupting him.
Gotcha. Okay.
So if there's any, like, it is not visible, it might be, like, crystals on his spine, but that would all be internal. You wouldn't be able to see that.
Okay. Does he have anything on him that, like, a map?
He has a walkie-talkie that is still functioning.
How? Sorry.
I don't know. There's not a lot of tech on him that's still functioning. Most of his stuff is very, very dead, but this walkie-talkie is still okay. And he also has that flash drive in his hand.
Which is dead.
That's definitely fried. I definitely think there's a panel of Clara, like, rummaging through his pockets or pulling out of his, like, unconscious hand the, like, charred flash drive and, like, handing it to Alan, like, okay, one down, ? To go.
Like I said, I'm just going to nuke the place. Get rid of all of it in one shot. We weren't going to use the building anyways. Let's go find the others.
Oh, okay.
If you can't tell, Alan's pissed.
Moon Harbor Heroes is produced by Anthony Sheets, T.P. Huth, and Elliot Peterson, and edited by Anthony Sheets and Sean Geddes. Anthony can be found on Twitter at Icy New Year or at icynewyear.com. T is a theater artist and educator in the D.C. area. She can be found at T. Huth Playwright on Twitter or tphuth94 on Instagram. Elliot can be found at Elliot Yelen on Twitter. That's ELLIOTYLEN. Sean can be found at The Crumpet, THECRUMPIT on Twitter. Moon Harbor Heroes is played using Masks A New Generation, written by Brendan Conway and produced by Magpie Games. Our logo was designed by Beautiful Beasties. She can be found on Instagram at beastly.doodles or on Patreon at patreon.com/beautifulbeasties. The music in this issue is Mistake the Getaway by Kevin MacLeod. This issue is GM'd by T. Huth. Rebel Rouser is played by Elliot Peterson. The Wild Thing is played by Rose Hahn. Rose is an actor, content creator, and mental health advocate. Her podcast, What Was I Saying? Living with ADHD, can be found on Spotify, iTunes, and Google Play Music, or on Twitter at @what_was_I_saying. She can be found on Twitter or Instagram at Smiley Rosie, SmileyRoseyY. Flyby is played by Jane Berry. You can find her at Jane-Tarzan on Twitter. Blue Samurai is played by William Hendry. You can find him on Twitter at RockoutWill or on Steam as Cyprus_Grunum. CYPRUS_GRUNUMN. Tyrannus is played by Kaido Kane. Kaido is a Twitch personality and loves their three mischievous cats. You can find them at TheVersian on Twitter or as Kaido Kane on Twitch.tv. Rascal King is played by Anthony Sheets. If you want to get a hold of us, email us at moonharborheroes@gmail.com or find us on Twitter at moonharborcast. If you enjoyed this issue, please leave us a review on your podcatcher of choice or tell a friend. 5-star reviews and word of mouth are really the best way for us to keep bringing these stories to more people. If you'd like to support us financially, check us out at patreon.com/moonharborheroes. Supporting us there will give you access to bonus issues each month. And thank you for helping us save the world. We'll see you next issue.
And he's going to charge his burn. And I'm going to roll for that really quickly. I could type today. Thank you, fingers. Did Sidekick die?
Sidekick.
Buddy. Hello.
In the arms of an angel.
Fly away.
Hi, can you roll up the other one?
Yeah, I'll roll with the other.